It's a Tuesday. What do we do every Tuesday at this time? We visit at FHN with the Dial the Doc program, and today back with us, infection preventionist and clinical quality and professional development, Margie Kochmeyer is back with us. Hey, Margie, good morning. Hello to you.
Good morning, Scott.
Well, as much as we wish otherwise, COVID-19 not going away. It's seemingly another surge here, now even bigger here for us in the Midwest. Summarize the situation for the FHN service area. What are you seeing?
Well, since mid-September, we've seen an increase in people that are testing positive for COVID. Currently in Illinois, the Department of Public Health is reporting a total of 383,000 cases with 9,700 deaths. As of Sunday night, 2,638 people in Illinois were reported to be in the hospital, 589 in ICUs with 238 on ventilators. Stevenson, and these numbers change so quickly. Stevenson, 1,018, 7 deaths, and I think that is actually pushing to 10 deaths. Ogle County, 1,218 with 7 deaths. Carroll, 419 with 11 deaths. Joe Davis, 512 with 7 deaths. Winnebago surpassed 10,000 with 180 deaths. We currently have 11 COVID patients in the hospital. These numbers, like I say, change on a daily basis. We've seen an increase in hospitalized patients and seeing patients that are sick enough to be in the hospital and be on ventilators again.
So you're up to 11 right now, and as you say, that changes. Boy, just a month and a half ago or so, you were down at zero, weren't you, there for a while?
Yeah, things change, and that definitely brought our numbers in higher.
And what's happening? Why is this happening now?
Well, you know, we started practicing those really strict precautions, and we saw numbers decline. People were outside more. The numbers declined, so restrictions eased up. People are getting tired of staying away from other people. Remember what kept our numbers down: wearing the mask, keeping safe distances, good hand hygiene. Kids returned back to school, too, so there was some additional contact. As kids played sports, they had more contact with people. They probably were asymptomatic carriers that brought things home to the family. And we've seen people moving indoors now as the weather is getting colder. You know, outside that air is more diluted, and now they're moving into those closed-in spaces.
We're talking to Margie Kochmeyer, infection preventionist at FHN, Dial the Doc program here today. Margie, everyone, of course, is hoping for a vaccine. However, just getting a vaccine doesn't mean everything's going to go back to normal right away. Snap back normal, why not? Tell us about this.
Well, things are probably not going to be as they were before for quite some time. The vaccine is going to be very helpful in managing this pandemic. But in order for it to be effective, a large number of people are going to need to take it. The first distribution of vaccines that are going to come out are going to be for frontline persons. The next distribution then will start to incorporate the general population. This is a vaccine, from what I understand, that will need to be taken every year. And I believe it's probably because it doesn't give you immunity for a long period of time.
So now, in the meantime, what can folks do out there here now to keep themselves and their family safe?
I know people are tired of hearing this. This is all we can do before the vaccine is available to us. Wear masks in public. Minimize the number of people that you're exposed to. Keep a safe distance from other people. Hand sanitize, especially after you're out in the store, out in public. Don't touch the front of your face with your hands, or the front of your mask with your hands, because it's contaminated. And I see a lot of people touching the front of their mask. Remove the mask by the straps and be careful where you store it. Get a flu shot, because it's going to be helpful to protect you for the flu. It's not going to protect you for COVID, but you would not want to get both the flu and COVID. And do your best to stay healthy.
Now, we've also heard that the CDC changed their guidance as to how long someone can safely be around someone who was found to be infected. Give us this new guidance. What is this all about?
So the guidance was that if you were within 6 feet of an infected person for 15 minutes or more, that was considered an exposure. And that was an exposure that was from 2 days before the person had gotten symptoms. The new guidance is individual exposures added together over a period of 24 hours. So it's cumulative. So 3 5-minute exposures for a total of 15 minutes. Remember, the closer the distance and the longer the exposure, the more increase. But we've learned that cumulative exposures. So I was reading about a prison guard who tested positive for COVID. After exposures to six positive inmates, the guard was wearing a cloth mask. Some of the prisoners were wearing cloth masks, some were not. The time of the exposure was less than 15 minutes per event, but during the course of the shift added up to a cumulative total of 17 minutes when they reviewed the surveillance. And he tested positive.
Let's end the debate out there. There is no question that masks help, right?
They do. And the masks that you're wearing out in public are keeping your droplets to yourself. The other person's mask is keeping their droplets to themselves. That is protective. That is, so if you were talking to somebody who you found out tested positive, you were both wearing masks, that is not really considered an exposure because you were protected.
And it reduces the chances of you getting COVID, but at the same time, it may also reduce your viral load. In, even if you do get it, you might not get it as bad. Is that correct?
It could be. I could see that happening just because you do have some protection there, but mostly it is protecting you from passing it to the other person.
All right, we've heard about recommendations about even wearing your masks at home. What do you suggest there?
Well, a mask can be worn at home if someone in the family tests positive and you're trying to protect the other family members. We encourage the positive family members to keep a distance from the well members, especially if they're elderly or they have risk factors that would make them getting COVID a serious illness.
What are things a family can do in their home to help improve their safety?
Some of the same things that we do during flu season to minimize transmission of a virus. Keep high-touch surfaces wiped down. Stay home when you're sick. COVID can be transmitted by direct contact with an infected person, so no handshaking, or by droplets when the respiratory droplets land on the face of the person that you're talking to. That's why good hand hygiene, no handshaking, wear a mask in public. There's also airborne transmission where the virus, which has very small droplets, can remain in the air. And much like other viruses, and we've talked about this during flu season, cold, dry weather does not kill the viruses, but it actually lets them float on the air so that they can stay suspended for hours. We have learned that packages and groceries that you bring into the house have less likely ability to spread the disease from one person to another.
As you speak about the flu, are we having a less aggressive flu season because we are all social distancing and wearing masks because of COVID?
Absolutely. And I saw a difference right away in March when we had very high numbers. As soon as we started putting on masks and social distancing and teaching people how to hand wash, we saw our numbers absolutely fall. So don't not take your flu vaccine because of this. Keep yourself protected because we really don't know what's going to happen with the flu season.
And the other thing, I think I hear people compare it to the flu, COVID to the flu, the mortality rate, there's no question about this as well, is that the mortality rate is much higher for COVID than it is for the flu. Is that right?
That is correct. And it seems to be transmitted even easier than the flu. So again, those precautions, I know everybody's tired of hearing it, really are important. We want to keep our businesses open. And so follow those precautions.
All right, Halloween coming up now. Trick-or-treating apparently has not been canceled. Halloween parties may be considered by some people. What recommendations do you have out of FHN and out of the infection area here, Margie, to have a safe and healthy Halloween?
We follow guidance from the CDC, and they put this into three categories: high, moderate, and low risk. So high risk would be an increase of spreading the virus. So indoors, crowded costume party. If you have COVID or you've been exposed to someone with the disease, you really shouldn't participate in Halloween festivities and you should not be giving out candy to trick-or-treaters. Moderate risk would be a small group, outdoor, 6 feet distance, attending a costume party outdoors with protective masks. So costume mask is not a substitute for a cloth mask, and don't forget the hand sanitizer. Low risk, virtual Halloween costume contest, Halloween movie night with the people you live with. You can search Safe Halloween During COVID online for more information about it.
And are you saying that if we change our behavior in the next couple of weeks, that we could change the resulting problems that we're going to be having in the next month or two because of the second wave that's coming through, or the continuation of the first wave?
I agree we can, and we did it in March, so there's no reason that we can't do it again. We just need to stay strong during this and keep doing what we're doing, and I think we can watch these numbers fall and save lives.
Well, and the issue is that the only thing we have right now, because there isn't a vaccine out there, the only thing we have is a change in our behavior. Is that right?
And that seems to be the hardest for people to do. It is a change in behavior, and it's something that we're not used to doing. But if we all stick together on this and make these changes, really believe that we can make the changes that we saw in March.
What do you say to the non-mask believers? What do you tell them? What do you say to them?
You know, I've read so many stories about wearing masks where somebody who works in a business is wearing a mask, turns positive, gives it to the person that's at home, but not to their customers. That tells me right there that those masks are working. We work with COVID patients all the time at the hospital, too. So, I mean, we have learned how to keep ourselves protected.
What about someone who wants to find out more about COVID-19 and how could they get more information about it?
Well, stay up to date on the most current guidelines and information by visiting the FHN.org site, the CDC, the Illinois Department of Public Health, and check often because the guidelines change quickly.
All right, Margie. All right. I know folks are, you know, we hear COVID, but we've got to hear about it. We've got to remind ourselves because it's very important, especially with the next couple of months coming up here now. Are you very concerned about the next couple of months?
I am very concerned. I'm watching numbers rise on a daily basis, higher than we've ever seen them before. And with it comes loss of lives. And we really want to, you know, reduce that as much as possible.
Well, and I looked at the numbers, you know, the European Union was down to under 5,000 cases, new cases per day midsummer. They're now surpassing us. They're over 100,000 new cases on a daily basis. We never got below 20,000 per day new cases in this country. I'm concerned about where that top number could go here in the next month or two for us.
We should take guidance from them. So right now, Europe is imposing new restrictions to help slow their surge. They're saying reduce social gatherings. They're talking about travel bans in and out. They've got curfews in Italy that they're imposing. So they're telling their people to take personal responsibility, postpone social gatherings, avoid crowded places.
And they're getting tired of it there, too. They're not happy with it either. But, again, this is all we can do at this point until we get a vaccine. And then the vaccine's not going to be an overnight relief as well. That's going to be a while, 6 months to a year, while we get where we eventually will get herd immunity on this. You hear those words. But we will getting herd immunity with the help of a vaccine will be the death totals will be a lot less by doing it that way.
That's correct, but I believe we're going to have about 60% of the population take the vaccine.
All right, Margie, always great information. Thank you very much. We'll talk again soon, all right?
Thank you.
Margie Kochmeyer, infection preventionist and clinical quality and professional development at FHN. The preceding brought to you today by FHN.